Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Rodney Pete, before I let you go, do you remember the one time we played in Carolina?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what I said that day?
I know it had something to do with old. I know.
I say, ED, listen to this. You know me. I'm young. I'm this young little lion. We trying to hunt out there. I said, if Rodney Pete beat me today, I'm retiring.
And guess what, ED? ED, we got him.
You're listening to the best damn NFL pod, period, with Hall of Fame running back Eric Dickerson and USC legend, 16-year NFL vet Rodney Pete, presented by DraftKings.
You're listening to the best damn NFL pod, period, presented by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code BESTDAMN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. I'm Rodney Pete. He is the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. And we got a special guest today. Our man, he played 17 seasons in the NFL for the Baltimore Ravens. He was drafted out of what they call the U. He won two Super Bowls, a two-time Super Bowl champ, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, Super Bowl MVP, seven-time first-team All-Pro, 13-time Pro. I can go on and on, man. Led the NFL in tackles three times. The resume is endless. He has his own podcast, Team No Excuses presents the Ray Lewis Show. Our man, Ray Lewis. What's up, Ray?
Man, I'm sitting with Rodney Pete and Eric Dickerson. I must have made it.
You must have rode 100 miles on a bicycle to get here.
Hey, Ray, speaking of that, before we get into the X's and O's football stuff, man, what have you been up to? Because we were talking off air that you're into bike riding now.
Yeah, I'm into cycling, man. I got into cycling, guys, 2010, right? I popped my big toe playing against Seattle, and I tore my plantar plate, so I don't have that flexibility, right, when it comes to pushing off. So I had to actually put a steel plate in my shoe, and then the rest of my game started to go sideways, right, to where I would have to push off sideways and stuff. So I didn't have direct power going forward, but I never got it fixed because there was no true cure of fixing a snap toe. And so it's still broken. It's still broken to this day, man. But I just love cycling. Like, it's a different world, guys. It's like everything, and I know you guys are going to get on me, but everything like we went through and we trained and you know how hard we went. It's hard like that, but it actually saves you because your body doesn't.
It's the low impact, right, man. Right. No, I get it. I'm trying to do more.
Yeah. So I got 100 miles.
That's 100 miles.
That's what I wanted to ask you. What's up with the 100 miles? I mean, seriously, Ray, 100, you know how far 100 miles is? To me, that's like
and Ray, it's not stationary. You outdoors, right? You're not riding a Peloton or a stationary bike, right?
I have stationary bikes, but I am outside. I am outside for sure. So we leave here ED about, I get there about 5:30, and we'd be back around 10:30. Yeah.
Wow. Good luck. And you have a group that you ride with.
Yeah. And it's groups all over, right? So you have so many groups, right? So honestly, on a Saturday morning, you'll probably have anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 cyclists. Wow. You know, in different groups passing each other. You know, you got the faster groups, you got slower groups and things like that. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a bunch of people out there. Now, but it's really amazing.
Now, Ray, are you dressed down, man? You got the full gear. You got the biking shorts. You got the helmet. You got everything.
Hey, Rodney, let me tell you something. Now, you know Sugar. Listen to me, ED.
Yes.
I got my own kids. You hear me? ED, RP, listen. I'm the only black man with hamstrings this damn long out there on the back anyway.
You gotta look good if you're gonna ride.
ED, I'm looking good out there.
Gotta look good.
Man, I got my no excuses gear. I'm ready for them too. They know when I'm coming. Yes, sir.
I love it. I can only imagine when you show up, man, for the ride at 5:30 in the morning. And you probably hyped, too. Like you coming out the tunnel and playing the game.
I got smoke coming out the truck. Oh man, I've been trying everything though. Like I got systems, man. Like it takes me approximately 45 minutes to an hour before I actually leave the house just for preparation to actually get on the bike. I do foam roller, I do meditation, I do so much, man. I go through my prayer, my readings, and so I just clear my mind, right? It's given me, I think what made each one of us so great is giving me that thing again, right? That release of competition and how I don't want to sit still and how I do want to keep going. And I don't want to get to 40, 50 and wonder if I should have kept going. I just want to keep going.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Because you, and I don't know about you, do you just said it though, Ray, is that when you retire, you try to find that high, that whatever you had when you were playing, and in reality, you never gonna get that again. You never gonna get that again, and you got to kind of find something that gets your juices flowing. So it feels like you got it. That I started doing jiu-jitsu and I got my boys into it, but that's now. And they older, because now they doing moves on me that I can't get in position to defend. But it's like that competition thing that, like you said, that kind of gets, I look forward to it. Even though I'm the old one in there, I look forward to it, man. And AD plays golf 7 or 8 days a week. Yeah. So I know he's competitive on the golf course. But we got to find that. But it's hard because a lot of cats, they still search for it.
I think you always search for it till you find it. Like you said, Ray, you know, you're looking for that thing that can replace football. And for me, I won't forget, I think I told you this story, Rodney. A couple of years ago, I did a thing at the Hall of Fame, and it was four of us at the Hall of Famers. They asked each guy, what are they doing that they love, like that they, you know, when they play football. And each guy said, you know, my business, this, that. And another guy said, you know, my foundation, I work with this. And other guy said something else, you know. And I said, you know, I guess to be honest with you, I've never found anything that has replaced the love that I have for football. It's hard to replace that. I think you'll find things that kind of, you know, give you that, but think about it, Ray. Yeah. You know, that coming on the field, you know, just the electrifying of the fans and you know, from being a kid, not just being not being Ray Lewis, the Hall of Famer, but from being a young kid of playing football, once you play football, you probably like me, you just loved it. You loved everything about it. And the more you played, the more you loved it. I've never replaced it. I just can be honest. I love golf, but it hasn't replaced football.
You can't, right? So it's irreplaceable. That's facts. There's no way we can ever replace that, right? But you can substitute what we still thrive for, right? Which is that competitive edge, right? It's like me. I'm never letting my sons beat me in nothing. Absolutely not. And I don't care. I play my sons. I play my little brother one-on-one in basketball. They like, you foul me. Ain't no ref out here. So for me, it don't matter. I just love this time on this side of life. Like, I'm doing it for me. Remember, because when we was doing it, for the grind. We was doing it for the teams. But this, I'm doing it for me, man. And so it's just exciting, man. But ED, I got to ask you this, because you got to remember this. I told you this before, ED. You were my favorite of all time. Right? But is that the original ED helmet behind you right now?
This is right here. Hey.
Please tell me, is that the original?
This is one of the original. This is the one I ran when I went 2,000 yards.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, because
that's 2105 right there.
It's a 2105 helmet right here. Yeah, this is it. Look at the inside of it. You know, look at the padding.
That old bike helmet. That old bike.
Old bike helmet. But I'm gonna show you something. I'm gonna show you something original, Ray. That you ain't never seen.
What?
Now, this is my original college helmet. The SMU helmet. This is the pony. It got a plexiglass over. You can't scratch the pony. But look at the padding inside. Look at this. Can you imagine playing? This is like the like the stuff that Jim Brown, the guy, played it. Look at that. I mean, think about that. I mean, I wonder why we had headaches when we played that crap.
Just putting the helmet on. Just putting the helmet on,
be scratching your forehead. You know, because sometimes guys have black foreheads. Like, why your forehead so black? Yeah. Rubbing that helmet, put that helmet on and off. But yeah, this is one of the original helmets.
Oh, I love it. Because we talked about that 2105. I talk with Eric all the time about that. Eric got so many stuff. Ray, you know, you watched him. I love watching him. And, you know, ED made the neck roll look good.
RP, listen. This I'm telling you. I'm going to send y'all when we get off the show, I'm going to send you a picture of me in high school with that same neck rose. What I'm telling you, I had that deuce. Every time I scored, I said, nigga, I'm Eric Dickerson out here.
How'd you switch over to defense then? How'd you go to defense? I'm offensive defense.
So this was crazy, right? So this new coach came in the junior year and I kept begging him, right? Because I was playing safety. So I was like 160, 165 pounds because I wrestled 189. So I was really light. So I played safety from 10th grade, 11th grade. So I kept asking my coach, man, I can play offense, right? He was like, because we had a lot of athletes. I mean, a lot of athletes. And then next thing you know, this guy got hurt, Jason Bamberg, he got hurt. And he took me in a jamboree and he said, go play linebacker. And I said, I don't know how to play linebacker. He said, just go to the ball. I said, okay, I can go to the ball. I stepped at linebacker, and in two quarters, which was a jamboree, you only play a half. In two quarters, I had 26 tackles.
Good grace of life.
I went to him and said, I'm never going back to safety. I was like, I'm too close to the ball over here. And then when I started playing running back, Carlos McCaplin was this powerful freshman. He tore up his knee the second game of the year against Lake Wales. He was running our 6'4 quarterback, Jason Mitchell, just on sweeps, right? Rodney just running them sweeps. And I said, Coach, I know the plays. I know 29 toss. I know 28 toss. Just give me the ball. I ended up with 156 yards in one half. We got blew out that game. But that was the last game we lost. That's when I started going both ways. That's when I started watching that. Listen, look, I ain't lying to y'all. That's when I started watching that ED, and I was listening to back. Jersey club ass. Boy, they got something to deal with.
you ain't sport the goggles, though. You ain't sport the goggles.
Listen, the only thing I was trying to figure out, was they prescription or was they just for show?
Trust me, them things prescription. You didn't want to wear them ugly ass things. I hated them. So, yeah,
you made them look good. You made them look good, ED, because I got to tell you, they didn't look so good on Chuck Muncy, but they look good on you.
I hated them things, man.
Oh, man. No, good stuff, though. I'm telling you, man. That's what it actually changed my football career when coach started to really, I think, trying to understand what my niche was, because I played everything. But I think, like, I was never just being respectful to the game. I was never just chosen for a job, right? Like, sophomore year in high school, college, even to when I got to the pros, it was never somebody just looked at me and said, you are a starter. Every time, this is no lie, guys, every time that I had the chance to play behind somebody who got hurt, they got hurt, and the next man up was me. So I always live with this mindset, right? It's simple. Don't ever lose your job to me, because you're never getting it back.
I love it. So you do that, and you come to high school, you go to the U, which, you know, was like an NFL roster when you get there, and you're speaking about competition. What was it like going to the U, all the athletes, you guys had it rolling down there for a while. What was it like down there?
Yeah, Rodney, you know, it's crazy, man. So my senior year, I didn't have a scholarship offer. And Dennis Erickson and Art Kehoe, the offensive line coach at the time, saw me play my last high school game against the number one recruit in the nation, which was Jamie German. And And I had a crazy game. I had a crazy sick game, just everything, rushing, tackles, everything. We ended up losing. 4 days before signing day, they knew I didn't have a scholarship. I had just won the state title in wrestling at 189. And I was like, I can't go to a wrestling school because I'm broke. My mom is in Tennessee at the time. I was living with my grandmother. And next thing you know, 4 days before signing day, Dennis Erickson calls and he's like, this kid blew out his knee riding a four-wheeler and we got one scholarship available. Mm. They say, if you can get here in 4 days, you got the scholarship. So I was like, Grandma, I need to go to Miami ASAP. We got to scratch up some money. And I'll never forget it, man. My mom, right before I left, they gave me $20 worth of food stamps. And I had one pair of jeans, three white T-shirts, and they dropped me up in Miami. And wow. That's when I ran into Warren Sapp and, you know, The Rock. We became really close friends very early. Me and him just kind of clicked first. And when I got to UM, I'm like, all of these freaking number one in the nation, number one in the nation, number one linebacker in the nation, number one running back in the nation, number one this. But I had the biggest mouth because I was like, I'm none of that. but I will tell you, I can play some football. You know, and I think started to just evolve into that family, man. Like the U is a culture, right? It's a culture, man. And it's a culture of ultimate respect. But the respect comes from really you're looking at 2, 3, 4, 5 star athletes at one position at one time when the U was rolling the way it was rolling. Yeah.
Hey, Ray. So now where were you originally from?
Lakeland. So I'm originally from Lakeland, Florida, right between Orlando and Tampa. Very, very small town, country boys down there. Yep, I went to Kathleen Senior High, 1991 and 1993. Yep.
So when you look at the U now, because I can tell you, when I look at my university, you know, we got the sort of the death penalty and all that kind of stuff, and we've never, ever been the same school.
Yeah.
And when I look at, when I think about the U, I mean, and to me, y'all reminded, I guess, to me, I can say y'all reminded us of our class because we're older, you know, kind of that, I'm going to say gangster. We had a bunch of gangster players. I mean, we wasn't no internet now. We had a bunch of gangsters, you know, some guys that you say, hey, man, look, you can't be out stealing and going on. You can't be out snatching no purses, man. We got to have you on Saturday. I mean, so when I think about the U, I think about guys that, you know, good guys, but you know what?
Yeah.
You know, they had a little edge to them. But when it came on Saturdays and time
you wanted
football,
them. You wanted them.
You want them dog. You know, that's how I look at it. That's how I look at you guys. And now, what do you think of the program now at University of Miami?
Yeah, I think that leadership at any level of life is leadership. And when you think about what the U once was, the U's reputation was there because of his leadership, right? If you watch the way we played for each other, that wasn't necessarily because we wanted to do it, right? When you think about Snellenberg, when you think about Jimmy Johnson, when you think about Dennis Eric, when you think about Coker, when you think about the richness, right, of what their leadership really was about. And now you transition to Manny, right? And think about what he's competing against, right? He's competing against the Nick Sabans, the Dabo Sweeneys, the Georgias, the Ohio States. So he's now losing, what, probably 50 to 60% of the top 5 recruits out of the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Right? From Miami. Right? You watch the Alabama roster, you watch the Ohio State roster, Georgia, you're like, Miami, 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 Miami. So you ask yourself, how do you compete with that? And that's why I think it shifted, E.D. and Rodney. I'm sure you remember this. Think about the 90s. When I played 90s all the way through the 2000s, Florida State, Miami, Florida, right?
Yeah.
Back to back to back to back to back. Like, we are always in those championships, right? Nebraska, Alabama a few times. But those were the championship games. But that's where the number one recruits was going. And now we're missing a lot of those recruits. And one of the reasons is everything is name recognition. Everything, and we know this now because the dollar is so much more relevant now. Yeah. If you go to Alabama, and you are a two-year starter at Alabama, you go on your junior year, guaranteed first round. if you're a corner, if you're a running back, right? Anything like that. And so we have to, at the U, we have to recreate what the tradition of leadership is. Leadership comes from the respect of why you do what you do, and not just because I want to do it, just because I say I'm a part of the U. They say it all the time, the U is back. Being back is taking back what we started, which was hard work, hard work, hard work, and then everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah, once you get on the field. And to that point, because yeah. USC is the same way, going through the times is the same thing, where, yep. you know, it used to be we got everybody from California, yep. especially L.A. Yep. It was mm-hmm. like no competition. Now, I think there's three quarterbacks starting for Alabama, Clemson, and somebody else that came right from L.A. Yep. And so we don't get him anymore, but it takes a long time for a program. Sometimes you get that, you have that mindset and that history that you mm-hmm. talk about. You think you can continuously mm-hmm. roll out that helmet and it's going to be good.
Right.
And it's not the case. And then that allows teams like, you know, the Alabamas and the LSUs to start catching up to you. Oregon's out here to start catching up to you, and you can't do it anymore. So how do you get that back, Ray, from schools like that?
You know, if you think about it, every kid now, just like I said, in the 90s, you know, it was Dennis Erickson, it was Bobby Bowden, you know, Steve Spurrier, right? Like legendary, right? And now the kids, it's facts, right? We just got to say what facts are. The kids now are saying, I got 2 years, my junior year, I'm gone. So where am I going to get that done, right? And the biggest name in college football is Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney,
yeah,
right? Ohio State, Georgia, right? That's the only way you get that back is you have to get a name that's relatable, that the kids respect, and the kids know that just because you, if you play for him and you do what you're supposed to do, you got a chance to go in the first round. Those guys have that, and I think all of these colleges are looking for that, right? Everybody's looking for that household name. But I think it comes with the territory of what the kids believe of in you and their leadership. Yeah, honestly, you're asking me. Mm-hmm.
I want to remind everybody that week two of the football season is in the books. And now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week three with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly, when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any week two game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code BESTDAM to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code BESTDAM this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Yeah.
What do you think now? I'm going to ask both of you guys this, because now with the NIL and college players can get paid and make money off their name and likeness. I know for you, ED, I mean, if you could have got paid in college at SMU, man, you never would have went to the NFL the way they was paying down there. But you think back, even when you were playing at the U-Rate and UED, it's like, man, all the little things that you did, if that was available to you while you were in college, when you needed it.
Well, I'll say this much. I've never been a big fan of the NCAA. I just feel like they are the biggest criminals in the world because they exploit young kids. You know, they take a young kid, and I just use your university as an example, Rodney, and I think Ray probably felt the same way. That's Reggie Bush. They take the Reggie Bush situation. They exploited Reggie Bush. You know, he got a scholarship, played at USC, won a Heisman Trophy. But, you know, suppose, you know, he took some money, you know. But think about this, man. Most of us,
it wasn't even him.
Most of us black athletes or black kids, we, like Ray said, he had a pair of jeans, a couple of pair of jeans, a shoes and a shirt. Right. We don't have nothing.
Food stamps.
Yeah, food stamps. We're lucky to have, we don't have anything. And if somebody comes along and offer you something, you know, to help you along. For me, it was to help my mom. I mean, because my dad had passed away. And I feel like the NCAA, they imposed this. We can do, like, we can sell your jersey. Like, we can sell all of Reggie Bush's jersey and everything, but he can't make a dime off of. We give you a scholarship. You know, and to me, that's just wrong. And I've always felt it was wrong for years. And I can say, look, back in our day, everybody was doing it. We were doing it. Texas was doing it. A&M was doing it. Arkansas, Houston. We're right there in the Southwest Conference. Everybody was denying it. Everybody was doing it. And they still deny it. The funny thing is they still deny it. I'll tell you a quick story right quick. Is that one school, I won't say the name of the school, said how they do it is, and that's a big school. They live close to the casino. So let's just say grandma, you live with your grandma. We're going to invite grandma down to the casino. Hey, this is your slot machine right here, grandma. You know, all of a sudden, oh, Lord, grandma hit $100,000. Who knew on this slot machine? So, boom. I mean, how smart is that? So, you know, I just feel like you should take care of players.
Oh, I've never heard of that one.
I was at a school, but somebody in the school told me. I'm like,
grandma didn't hit the slot.
I got to give. That's a good one. Now think about that, grandma. What grandma? I won how much?
oh man, that one, bro. Nah, you know, I'm definitely with EB when you speak about these things. Even when you open up this conversation, right, and say that the NCAA are paying kids, they're not eating from the NCAA's pie.
Right.
That's what the argument has been. That's what EB is talking about. Like, even the aftermarket dollars, right, that you can sell a 52 and you make all the proceeds off of it, but it's my image, it's my brand, it's my name, right? Think about this. You would never have, and I tell you, you would rarely have athletes go broke or lose everything they have if they were just paid off every time somebody used their name.
Right.
Period.
Period, right? And so you're asking the NCAA, you're letting other vendors and people come from the outside, right, to strengthen your pie. But what we're asking for, if you're making billions of dollars a year off of these kids, right, why aren't we eating from that pie? That's when I know the kids are winning. Right, when you're actually eating from that pot. I'm definitely, man, I feel the same way with ED on that one. I just think there are too many people making too much money. And definitely when you talk about black athletes, like we're what, probably 70 to 80% of the National Football League alone. You know, you talk about college football, it's maybe split up, you know, kind of equally, but we are a huge part of that. And a lot of us come from some very, you know, like, problem areas, and we need help, right? And you're gonna help your mother. You're gonna make that decision, right? You're gonna take the risk of not helping your mother, have your mother starve and be on the streets, or not taking what you work for.
Yeah,
right. That's what the option should be.
I could remember, you know, this happened a couple times with a couple cats I played with lived back east, right? And it was a death in the family, and they couldn't fly home.
Right.
And they had to try to find a way to go around about to get it instead of the school saying, what do you need? What do you need? We'll send you home, whatever you need, we'll take care of it. Instead, everybody was worried about an NCAA violation by sending a kid home or giving a kid some meal, because, you know, them little whatever stipend checks they would give you would not last.
What's that?
I never got one.
Neither. You know the thing is, right? Think about it. You hear the students or whoever it is, they'll complain. Well, you know, if you do it for the football, you got to do it for the tennis, you got to do it for baseball, you do it for basketball. I'm like, stop. You got to do it for swimming. When's the last time you saw 100,000 people at a tennis match? When's the last time you saw 100,000 people at a baseball match and a baseball game and another 100,000 outside at the tailgate? Right. It don't happen like that. Football runs all of that. Football is like at Alabama.
Pays for all the other sports.
They pay. They pay for everything. That's the big farce. They football pays for everything.
Yeah. Right.
Totally. Yeah, no, totally facts.
But look here, I want to talk about some of your pro stuff. We got time for some of your pro stuff.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. You listen to the best damn NFL pod, period. Yeah, I want to get into it too. Go ahead, ED, because I got some stuff.
I like to ask you this, Ray. You know, I like to ask every player because, you know, they always ask, you know, people ask you all the time, you know, who hit you the hardest? Ask me, who hit you the hardest? Who hit you the hardest? I like to ask you, when you think about one of your games, you know, one of them games, you say, like, everything was going right. Every tackle, every you made – what game was that?
Oof, that was a lot of me, D. But
I got an answer for that after you answered.
Give me two of them. But sometimes it's hard to go. Give me two of them you can think of.
I think the game that comes to mind for me is probably we played the Tennessee Titans, and they had never lost in Adelphia Coliseum. And a good friend of mine, I love to death, Eddie George. We had this thing.
I was thinking that was the game too. I was thinking that was the game.
Yeah, but we had this thing, man, and I knew, honestly, that the only way for us to change the Ravens' history was us. We had to go through Tennessee, and honestly, it was gonna come down between me and Eddie, and we went to Tennessee, and it was a war. It was an all-out war. And they punched us in the mouth first drive. Eddie gets in from 9 yards, cuts back. And Brian Billick comes up to me, and he looks at me, and I said, Coach, not right now. No, don't talk to me right now. I got to go talk to my defense.
Yeah.
And so we went back over there, man, and we started banging. I mean, oh, man, McNair, rest in peace. And we going back and forth. And we get in the third quarter, man, and it's late. And I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, I told Rod, I said, man, one of us got to make a play. Somebody got to make a play to change this game. And, man, Eddie broke sharp on a out route ED, and I broke off him. And McNair kind of threw the ball behind him,
yeah,
and it bounced off my hand. But I had 16, 17 times. I was touching every time he touched the ball, man. And I caught that pick, and I went, 54 yards?
54 yards right now.
Yeah, bro. And it was like – and that was the first time, right, Baltimore had ever reached that moment, you know what I'm saying, to where, like, wait a minute, this is real. Like, we're going to the AFC Championship. Yeah. You know, like, we heading to the dance for real. And probably that one, man, and then – We got it in against the Giants in the Super Bowl, and I still say it to this day, like, there was not one play that they ran that I did not know exactly where it was going, right? It was at every play. I was on every tackle, everything, because it was just like I was so zoned in on that game, man. And, I think those two games alone, bro. It's a lot of other ones, but I'm telling you, the ones that we went in, and then I looked at Rod and I said, bro, they're not scoring today.
Yeah.
They are not scoring today. There's nothing up front that they can do that I don't know about. So you handle that, yeah, bro. And it was like, and so those probably my two best games, man. Yeah.
So I to add on to that. So Ed, I'm leaving Washington. I went to Washington. Got traded to Washington from Philly when Ray Rhodes got fired. And so I'm there. I'm like, I'm going to retire. I'm 14 years in. I'm done. I put it in, had my share of injury, everything. And John Gruden has the job in Oakland. He calls me, say, come on, Rich is here. Rich is playing. Just back him up. I know you know the system. Come to Oakland. We'll hang out. So that game, I'm like, okay, I'll play for you, John. It's close to home. I'll go to Oakland. I'll play for the Raiders. It'll be cool. I'll just ride it out a couple more years with the Raiders. It'll be good. And we're pretty good. It's like, maybe
I was really good. Y'all was really good.
Yeah, maybe I get a Super Bowl out of this bad boy, because, you know, you play a long time, you don't get one. We watched that game, ED, because the game you're talking about is the playoff game against Tennessee in Tennessee. Yeah. He does pick it off. We all watching the game. We all there. I'm with C. Wood and another cat of mine, Terry Kirby. We watching the game and said, oh, because if y'all won, we got home field.
That's right.
And if Tennessee won, we would have to go to Tennessee. Yeah, so y'all beat them, and we excited. Because we got championship game in the black hole.
Yep.
It's in the black hole, and them fans going to be crazy. You know, they're going to be rocking and ready to go. When I tell you, when you said, like, when you played the Giants, you knew every play, and, like, they was not going to score?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I didn't play against the 85 Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all's defense that year might have been the best defense I've ever seen or ever played against, because – there was no weakness.
No weakness.
There was no weakness. And you had to know. I'm glad you said that, because you had to know going in that season. Sometimes it clicks like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, can't nobody beat us.
Right.
Can't nobody beat us. And it don't happen every year. Mm-hmm. But that year, nobody was beating you guys.
Rodney, what's crazy is we figured that out when Jacksonville, we came back and beat Jacksonville 39-36. Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardle with Mark Brunell. Jimmy hit us for 222 yards. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time we left Dwayne Starks one-on-one running cover ones,
right,
and different things like that. We come in the meeting right after that, and I look at Marvin Lewis and said, we're never putting our DBs out like that ever again. Mm-hmm. We playing cover two the rest of the freaking season. We possibly blitz a weak side backer, but we never know. And so that's why when we made that change, you got to think now, the only touchdown, even in Oakland, the only touchdown that was scored in the entire playoffs was one. Eddie George, then Tennessee scored the first touchdown, right? Like Denver didn't score. Oakland didn't score. The Giants didn't score. Like we was clicking. It had already clicked. And I speak about this all the time, right? And I try to explain to guys, like even on the show, right, on Paramount, on Inside NFL, I try to tell the guys all the time, y'all don't understand true defense. And this is respectfully, right?
Right.
The right defense can deal with a great offense any day. The right defense, though, listen to what I'm saying. Because when you have everything on one shoestring, when you have every gap sealed up, when you have every pass, man, that's a problem. That's a problem when you have defenses like that. And we knew that we had something special. And just that road alone, leading up to that playoffs, we had a streak of, we had like four shutouts that year. We was winning games by 3-4 field goals, right? But what we didn't care about, we didn't even care about the offense. We was like, it don't matter. They're not scoring.
Y'all defense is almost like the Bears. Just don't screw it up, offense.
Just don't screw it up. That's it.
That because you had, and I want to get into Lamar Jackson in Baltimore too.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, you had Trent. Now, you know, a lot of people don't want to give Trent a lot of respect, and I always say it's playing quarterback. And even when I talk to kids today, is that you have to, as quarterback, you have to understand your whole team.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand the strength of your team. And if you have a defense like y'all had, your job as a quarterback, to your point, is don't screw it up.
That's it.
Don't put the defense in a bad situation. Punt and play defense and play field position and score when there's an opportunity, you're going to win most of your games. And Trent did that for y'all that year.
I used to tell Trent before every game, take every shot on the other side of the 50-yard line and we'll win. That's it. Because even if it's intercepted, if it doesn't go right, they have to go 80 yards to score.
Right.
They have to go 80 yards. And I'm telling you, Jermaine Lewis was probably the biggest difference for us, because we broke the record that year for 3 and outs, right? Like, we was getting people off the field so quickly, and then you kick it to Jay Lou, oh, man, he was changing field position so crazily. Like, we was just winning tough, dirty games that people didn't like to see, right? Because it was ugly, it was brutal, it was beat up. Now, this is when you can actually hit people, too, right?
Yeah. Man, hey, you said it, when you can actually hit the quarterbacks.
Right.
Hit them.
When you can hit people, man. Like at one time, Rodney, and you remember this, at one time, there used to be a rule. You can't throw the ball across the middle.
Right.
That's a bad day.
Right. Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes.
That's a bad day, man. So.
And look, definitely don't throw it high.
You definitely don't throw it high.
Yeah.
Now there's no fear. And I heard Tom Brady talking about he can play till he's 50. Yes, you can nowadays.
Yeah.
You can.
Right?
Yeah, he said it in the same interview. You know, he was talking about, he was like, yeah, you know, when I played against Ray Lewis, there was plays that you could not throw the ball.
Yeah.
Because somebody was going to feel that, E.D. Like, I'm telling you, you're going to be thinking about me on Thanksgiving. You know? Yeah. Like, but that's what Ronnie Lott did. That's what Lawrence Taylor did, right? They set the tone, right? That remember this, right? And then I'm going to leave you alone from a defense perspective. But remember this. Remember when you used to come to the games on defense just to see the big hit?
They used to have it, the big hits, NFL.
Somebody was knocked out.
Yeah. Hey, it's funny, because I used to say, hey, that's my Ronnie Lott. I said, hey, he's going to put me on that 49er highlight tape. I'm going to make that 49er highlight tape.
Oh.
All right, so let's bring it to present, man.
Yeah.
And Ray, this has been great, man. I appreciate you joining us on the Best Damn NFL Pod Period presented by DraftKings. Listen, talking about Baltimore, I want to stay with the quarterbacks real quick before we get to the team, but Lamar, because Lamar takes so much heat, so much criticism. He's such an unbelievable talent. I think he's gotten better every year. They lose the opening game in Las Vegas. Your take on Lamar and then just Baltimore, where they stand, do they have a chance? I know they've gone through the injuries and the COVIDs and all that stuff, but right now, just Lamar and his progression so far.
Yeah, man, let me tell you. So, like I said this, I think it was on Peyton and Eli's show on Monday night. You know, when you think about elite quarterbacks, those are the people that you sit in the meeting room and you say, how are we going to deal with this?
Yeah.
Right? Lamar is something outside of Michael Vick. We've never seen this dynamic.
Right.
Think about the quarterback position. Outside of Mike Vick, you never saw a quarterback that's the fastest player on the field. Stop right there. Right? And not only that, it's how he moves. Right? It's like when you watch this kid play, I sit back and I say all the time, here you go. You don't know what's happening, but he knows he has this it. And no, it's just being honest. And nobody else in the National Football League has it, right? So when we talk about, a lot of people put heat on Lamar, but you got to think about any great team, right? It's what's around Lamar that makes Lamar better, right? You got to think about, I mean, just receiver point of view. Yeah, we got Hollywood, we got a couple of guys, but do we got that guy yet? Do we have that guy, right? Do we have those one or two guys, right? We have the box, right? We ran the football better than anybody in the history of the game, right, the last 3-4 years. But you know this game has turned into a passing league.
Yeah.
And now when you have the Patrick Mahomes, when you have the Josh Allens, when you have the Kyler Murray, when you have all of these guys, to win, you're going to have receivers and you're going to have to be able to throw the ball 70 or 80 yards like what Kansas City did against Cleveland this past weekend, right? The whole game is about to be buried, right? And Patrick Mahomes rolls out and throws a 70-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill and changes the entire game.
Yeah.
Right? Can Lamar do that? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, it's everything that has to be put around LJ. Look, I'm an LJ fan, not because he's a Raven. I was a fan when he was at Louisville. The kid is special. The kid is elite at every level. And I think, personally, he can only get better, but we all know nobody beats Father Time.
You know, I Ozzie Newsome said that when they drafted him, I asked Oz at the Hall of Fame, was the general manager, you know, Baltimore Ravens at the time. And I said, Oz, I said, is he a quarterback? Can you make him a quarterback? He said, no, Eric, he's a quarterback. He said he can play the position. He said, you know, he got some learning to do. He said, but I'm going to tell you, he's good. He said, he's going to be very dynamic. He said, and you know, and I didn't know what he meant by that, you know, because think about the NFL, you know, pretty much in the NFL, you can run, you can do it, but after a while, it catches up to you. You know, it don't take long. They catch up to what you like to do.
Yeah.
But for him, I mean, he is that guy. He's dynamic. He can throw the football, but you're right. You got to put the right guys around. If you don't have the receivers out there, you know, think about all your running backs have been pretty much wiped out. Wiped out. So you have to give him some help. And that's what you see with sometimes great players. They get on teams and it's they're trying to do too much. Like I say, sometimes he's trying to do too much. And for my taste, and I mean, I say this, I like it. I love him as a player. He too loose that ball. You know, you hold that ball in one hand. He got to stop doing that. When he run, I'm like, tuck the ball away. Just tuck the ball away. But as a player, I got to say, Ozzie was right. He is a dynamic player. And you're right. He's very dynamic.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about, and you also write about putting the people around you. I mean, you stick Patrick Mahomes in Detroit.
We just got our quarterback out of Detroit.
You see how happy Matthew Stafford is?
No. Better yet, you see how happy the Rams defense is?
Yes. They cheer louder than the offense.
I'm telling you,
this. They were the ones running down the field. Every big throw he made. It's interesting. But are people reading too much into the Baltimore loss against the Raiders? Or they got to get back healthy? What do you think? Because they got a big matchup against Kansas City this week, man. What do you think?
But we know this, Rodney. Like, that injury bug finds everybody, whether it's beginning of the season, the middle of the season, or the end of the season, right? And who would have thought, seriously, in that span from training camp to now, you lose not only your star corner, not only your star receiver, no, your number one receiver, not only all of your running backs.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're bringing in Le'Veon Bell. You're bringing in
Latavius Murray.
Yeah, Latavius Murray. Yeah. Right? You're bringing in the other boy from Atlanta, Freeman from Atlanta. Right? You got to think about that, right? And you're asking them to learn on the move, right? But so this is what I'm going to say, right? They're going to be tough. They have a tough, tough, tough schedule as well. But with the players that I know, like one of my favorite players on the team of all time, and I haven't met him yet, is Marlon Humphreys. I just think Marlon Humphreys is a straight dog when you talk about football.
Yeah.
He just knows the game of football. But I think they have a tough stretch. But I think this is what develops true character. And I think because they've had so much success winning early, if they can learn from these one or two losses early now, it'll benefit them later in the season when they do get healthy. Because if they're able to get healthy mid-season, going into the end of the season, they can be problems in the playoffs. But we all got to sit back and watch it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you mentioned this early, how it's turned into the passing game and you can't hit anybody. On defense, it's hard to play defense nowadays. I said it to everybody. I watch games and guys get and on the college side too bothers me.
Rodney,
kick guys out of the game.
Rodney, stop it. I'm telling you right now, if we don't do something, there's no way you can kick these babies out of freaking games for making a football mistake.
Right.
It's a football mistake. We're taught to make that hit. Right? We're taught to do that. And you're kicking us out, man. You got to watch these kids' faces, E.D., when they're leaving that field.
They're hurt. The kids are hurt.
They hurt.
Because as an offensive player, and I said I'm an offensive player, if I duck my head, what are you going to do? You're going to duck your head. It's automatic. It's, you know what I mean? Or you're going to say, okay, I'm just going to come in my chest? No, I just think it's wrong, man. It's automatic. If I duck my head, you're going to duck your head.
Yeah, the game is really disturbing if you're watching it from a lens, and you guys respectful, but if you're watching it from a lens of mine, I frown. You know, it's like, no, you can't do that. Like, once you take that element out of the game, it's not fun anymore for defenders. Are we going to do our job? Absolutely, right? Can D linemen still get sacks? Absolutely. But from the linebacker position, laying down what the title is, the title of linebacker, from Dick Butkus to the Willie Lanierys to the Ray Nitzkis to Mike Singletary, all the way down, you had one problem. Don't get caught slipping, because I'm here to make you feel that. And once you take that dynamic away from the game, guys just run across the middle now, little slot receivers. Oh, and if you hit me too hard, this is what aggravates me the most. Guys get hit hard now, and jump up to the referee saying, he can't hit me. He
I
can't
said, hit me. I said, they jump up like, what?
What the freak, man? Oh my God.
I'm like, damn.
I turn off my TV. I turn off my TV to go outside and start fishing. I'm done.
I said, I'm like, I'm on offense. I'm like, come on, dog. I mean, you can't jump off the ground. Like, he hit me. He hit me too hard.
Oh, my God.
And as a quarterback, that made you work on being accurate if you were throwing the ball over the middle because you didn't want to throw it high. You knew how to read it right. Now there's no consequences for anybody, a receiver going over the middle or a quarterback throwing a bad ball over the middle. Ray, all right, before we get out of here, man, we picked three games, man. I got to get you to take on three of these games. We already talked about the Chiefs and Ravens. The Chiefs are favored by 3.5. I already know where you're leaning on this. But really, what do you feel? If Chiefs favored by 3.5 against the Ravens, how do you pick that game?
This is what I'm telling you, right? We know the duel comes down to Lamar and Patrick. But let me tell you something. The Chiefs defense are going to have to figure out how to stop that in Baltimore. So the last person with the ball wins that game. So I'm going to take the Ravens for sure. Yeah, I just think 0-2 in the AFC, that's a tough spot you don't want to start from. And I think Baltimore, they've always played them tough. They always do. But I think the urgency of what has to happen, if they can pull this game out, I think this will get them back on track. So I'm going to go to the Ravens with this one for sure.
Yeah. AD, who you like?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I picked Cleveland last week to beat Kansas City, and I think they should have won that game. You know, that punt, you know, special teams is a very big, big part of football. In this game, I feel like Lamar has something to prove because I know he is, as a player, when you turn the ball over, it hurts. It hurts you, and I guarantee you, he didn't sleep. And I know he thought about it, and he's gonna put it on his shoulders again. I'm gonna take Baltimore. I'm gonna take Baltimore in this game. I know he.
Yeah, I am too. For that reason too. I think the Chiefs being favored by 3.5. I think it's gonna be a real close game. I think it's gonna come down to the end, which I will take the points in the Ravens on this one. But I agree with you, Edie. I think Lamar, the way that game in Vegas ended, he's got a little chip coming back for week two, and they're playing at home. I like the Ravens as well. All right, we got the Bills. Bills are a 3-point favorite at Miami. Who you guys like? Go ahead, Ray.
Oh, this one tough. Because I like Buffalo. I like Josh Allen. I like what they're doing. I like bringing Bud Dupree over there. I like all of that. I do. But I like Tua and Waddle a little bit more right now. I just think I like what they're – and I'm going to take the points against them. I think Buffalo's favorite, right?
Yeah, Buffalo's favorite by 3. Yep.
Yeah, Buffalo's favorite by 3, man.
Tua, huh?
Huh?
What's you know, you got all the ties still down in Miami, man. What's the word on – why do they don't want to give Tua that full love yet? You like Tua, though.
Well, I do. I think, you know, when you watch that kid accuracy, I think his window of how he throws the ball from a defensive perspective, I would, as soon as I watched film on him, I was like, you got to respect that because he understands it, right? He understands cover one, cover three, cover four, right? I got out, I got to come back, I got to curl. He got all of that science. And they're putting the right pieces around him, man. I'm just telling you, Miami is hard to give anybody credit. Why? Because they've been struggling so long. I don't believe that it's possible, that it's real. But I like Tua, so I'm going to go with the Dolphins on this one.
All right. Well, you got ED.
You know what? I think the Bills slipped up last week and lost one. I mean, the Bills are a good football team. I like Josh Allen. I like the strong arm he has. I like their football team. I like the way they play defense. I'm going to take the Bills in this one.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on the Dolphins just yet. I do like what Flores is doing down there, though. And yeah. I'm to you. I think Tua, if they just let him play, he's going to be pretty good. But I got to take the Bills bouncing back on this one down in Miami. All right, the last one, the big one out here in L.A., Cowboys play Tampa tough.
Yeah.
Now they're going up against the Charger team who went back to Washington and won that game. Chargers are favored by 3.5. Cowboys out here at SoFi against the Chargers. Who you like, Ray?
Oh man, I'm going Cowboys. Yeah, I watched that game very, very closely. If that's any other team in the NFC, Cowboys win that game, right? And to see Dak bounce back the way he bounced back, and I'm a big fan of CeeDee Lamb's. I just think that kid is very, very special. And Ezekiel Elliott, he didn't have the game that he wanted to have last week. Trust me. And this week, they will find a way to feed Zeke, guaranteed. And I think Herbert is—he's good. He's good. He has some weapons out there, and they're doing some creative things out there with the Chargers. But yeah, I'm gonna have to ride with Dallas on this one. Definitely favorite. I got to take Dallas in the points for sure. Yeah,
that's a tough one. You know how I feel about the Cowboys.
Yes.
No, you know I don't like the Cowboys.
I know.
I pulled for the Cowboys last week. It was hard. Because, I know you feel the Cowboys because I like Dak and I like both of them. And that was tough for me to do, but I did pull them. They lost anyway. I'm going to tell you something, man. The San Diego team is a good football team. People don't realize
what team? What team, AD? What team?
I'm sorry. The LA Chargers. They're still San Diego, damn it. They're still San Diego. The LA Chargers.
Spoken like a true Ram.
The LA Chargers, they shouldn't even be here. But the Chargers have a good football team. The Cowboys, they played a very good football game a week ago. But I'm going to take the Chargers at home. I think the Chargers have enough weapons to stick with it. Keenan Allen, I mean, the quarterback, Herbert, mm-hmm. I mean, he's the real deal. That defense can play. I mean, they got a good defense here in San Diego. In L.A. So I'm gonna go with the Chargers at home. I know I'm stepping out.
Chargers favorite.
I'm gonna take
the Chargers. All right, so Chargers are favorite 3.5. I'm going with the Cowboys. I think that I like what I saw too, Ray. I like what I saw against Tampa in week one. I like to see Dak. That was the question. Is Dak back? Right.
Yep.
And I think he showed that. And I think you're right. Zach Martin on the offensive line comes back for the Cowboys this week, which will help Zeke, hopefully. I'm taking the points in the Cowboys in this one, man. I think the Cowboys go 1-1 against a tough Charger team, and then the talk really starts. Are the Cowboys back?
If they go 0-2, it's gonna be some talk.
Always is.
Jerry ain't doing that.
Ray Lewis, nothing but love for you, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. Telling stories, man. It's always great to catch up with you.
Rodney Pete, before I let you go, do you remember the one time we played in Carolina?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what I said that day?
I know it had something to do with old. I know.
I say, E.D., listen to this. You know me. I'm this young lion. We trying to hunt out there. I said, if Rodney Pete beat me today, I'm retired.
And guess what, E.D.? E.D., we got him.
We got him, Joe. Get him. We got him.
I did tell a lie. That was a lie because I kept rolling.
Yeah, I'm going to retire.
I love you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, Ray, send us that picture. I want to see the neck roll on.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna send it to you right now.
Okay, brother.
Right.
Thanks a lot, man.
Next, bro, man.
I love it.
All right, let's just
jump in. Hey, Lewis. Thank you,
brother. All right, man.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.